Hi, and welcome to our broadcast. Last week, we were talking about when Christ was being tempted and he was led away into the wilderness and to be tempted of the devil, not to be tempted of God, but to be tempted of Satan. Satan was tempting Christ. Satan tempts all of us. His tactics and his plans are to try to tempt us or lure us into temptation so that he can have power over us. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, it calls Satan the tempter, not God. God is not our tempter. And we talked about this in James chapter 1, that God does not tempt us with evil. God is not has no evil in him. He cannot be tempted with evil, and he tempts no one with evil. God does not tempt us with sin. God does not lure us for destruction. God does not lure us away, to be drawn away, to failure. But God does allow us to be tested, and God does test us, proving what is on the inside of us for our benefit, to strengthen us so that we know what we are capable of. God doesn't test. God is not like a teacher that really doesn't care about their job, and they put a test forth, and when they do the test, they could care less if you get an F or whatever. They're doing their job. They're putting a test out there. But if you've ever had a good teacher, a teacher puts a test out for you so that she can see, or he can see, where you are, so that they can bring you up to a higher level, so that they can find out where you're at. They can locate you, and then they can take you and teach you, strengthen your weaknesses. So there is a testing. Now, God already knows what's on the inside of us. God knows what's in our heart. God, who knows the heart of man but God? God knows the innermost thoughts of our heart. But when the testing comes out, we find out what's on the inside of us. We find out what we really believe. We find out if we're capable to stand, and really the strength that we have. So when a testing comes, that testing comes to really show what is on the inside of us. How strong are we? It's a proving, just like the Bible talks about a refiner's fire being tried by pure gold. It talks about our faith being tested, and we'll talk about this, and we're going to go back into James chapter 1, the beginning of this. But when our faith is tested, it's like tried by pure gold. When gold is put to the fire, you know, it doesn't destroy the gold, but it makes the gold even more valuable. Why? Because when that fire is put to the gold, then all of the impurities and anything that is not supposed to be there, that would devalue it or take its value away or cheapen it, it all goes up to the top and surfaces up, and then you're able to skim it off, and what's left is only the very best, the strongest, the purest, the most valuable. So we shouldn't be afraid of testing. We shouldn't be afraid or fear, oh God, am I going to be tested? I'm going to fail. What if I fail? You know, I used to have this fear in school. You know, a test is coming Friday. Oh God, help me. Oh Lord. You know, and you know, we seem to look at that as fearful of, why? Because we're afraid to fail. But God's tests are not to set you up for failure, but it's to set you up for victory. It is to strengthen you, let you locate where you're at, and then where you can increase and where you can stand on God's word and prove. And when you come through a test or a trial and you see the faithfulness of God, it only makes you stronger. When Satan tempts you or tries you or tests you, and you come through that, it only makes you stronger. The trying and the testing of your faith makes you stronger. And we're going to go into this. And I went off into, usually we go ahead and start off with prayer, kind of getting this out of here. But I want to just share with you where we're going, what we're going to be doing. And we're going to go before the Lord and ask the Lord to bless this time. bless you, bless your mind, open your spiritual ears and your understanding so that you can walk away with something that gives you strength, not something that condemns you. It's not about anytime we look at correction or things that are going on in our life, it's for our benefit to become stronger, not condemnation to cause us to run from God, but correction in our life so that we can be better. Amen. So let's go ahead and open up with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you today and we thank you, Lord God, for showing us the insights of your word so that, Lord God, we can be more like you. God, that you can show us the things that are going on so that we can become stronger, so that we can live a higher life, so that we can be more productive for the kingdom. God, we're asking you to give us that wisdom, that insight, and we declare today in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we have ears to hear and spiritual understanding to see the revelation and the truth of your word. Lord, we declare over us in the name of Jesus that your word is the most important thing in our life, and we give it, Lord God, we give your word this time and this freedom to operate in us, freedom to correct us, free to give us understanding. And Lord, we worship you and we thank you in the name that is above every name, the precious name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Let's look at, we talked about where in Matthew chapter 4 and 1 Thessalonians that Satan's called the tempter. Now listen, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says that we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, in our weakness, but was in all points tempted like as we are, but without sin. Christ has already been through the temptations. He's been through the temptations of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the cares of this world, all of these temptations that come to us, those temptations that would try to lure us in, the deceitfulness of riches, all of these things that Satan tried to lay before him. And how did Jesus defeat Satan? He defeated him with the word of God. It is written. Every time Satan came to him and tried to tempt him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Word of God is our source to overcome temptation. God has provided everything we have need of. We just have to dig it out. We have to dig up this treasure. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, he gives a warning, but then he gives a promise. So he's talking about the warnings of how that we look at those that were of old in the wilderness and in the days of Moses. How they tempted God, how they failed, how they were destroyed, but sin itself is what caused them to be destroyed. And in verse 10:12, 1 Corinthians 10:12, and I'm reading this in the Passion Translation, it says, so beware if you think it could never happen to you, lest your pride becomes your downfall. So when we look at somebody going through a test or a trial and we think, oh, you know what, I could do better than that, or I would never have fallen under that. You know, I would have never, you know, if I was tempted in that way, I would have never give in. Be careful how we look at people's lives, or when people are going through something, or a hardship has hit their life, or when Satan has, you know that Satan is working, or they're going through a trial and a test, a proving, and it looks like things are hectic, chaotic, or terrible in their life. And you think, well, what's happened to them? Why are they, you know, what sin have they committed? Listen, you don't have to commit sin for Satan to come after you. Jesus committed no sin and Satan came after him. You don't have to have sin in your life for Satan to try to take you out. He doesn't have anything else to do but to roam around looking for who he can, what does the Bible say, as a roaring lion, seeking out whom he may devour. He doesn't have anything else to do but to roam around lurking, looking for any weakness, anything he can pounce on, any way he can to destroy. So you don't have to have sin in your life for Satan to come after you. But we do have the promise of God's word that when he does come, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have the promise of the greater one lives on the inside of us. So we don't have to be afraid of the test. We don't have to be afraid of temptation. Because look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13 says. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust Him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. For God has provided for you a way of escape for every trial, a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. This is the promise that you stand on. And my former employer, Bruce Deckel, he used to say this all the time. Whenever there was a problem, we'd say, we got a problem. He said, oh, it's not a problem, it's an opportunity. You know, and at first you're like, well, it sure feels like a problem. But what he was saying was, look, there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be things that come up in your life that are difficult. But, and another thing he used to always say is, if it was easy, anybody could do it. You know, we're the professionals. You know, if it was easy, then anybody could do it. That's why we're, you know, that's why we're in the position that we're in. But looking at a test as an opportunity for what? An opportunity to trust God more. When we go through life and there's testings come up and things aren't always going easy, it really proves and shows out what really is on the inside of you. I was going through a testing today. I had an opportunity to get out of faith and get in unbelief and in doubt. And looking, when I look at things in the natural, when I look at things in my own strength, I'm not looking at God's hand. I'm not looking at God's strength. I'm looking at myself. And when I begin to do that, when I look at finances or I look at my life or where I could be, where I should be, or what God has called me to do, and I'm not there yet. I'm not where I could look back and, you know, Satan is good at drawing you back into the past, showing you your failures. If you're getting replays of your past and failures, I'm going to tell you something. It's not your Heavenly Father. God always looks forward. He never takes you and draws you back to the past and shows you your weakness of your past. He always looks at you in the future. He always looks at you in faith. He always looks at you ahead. So when you're getting drawn back into an old you, somewhere where you don't even, that's not even your life anymore, but draws you back to that place of condemnation, that is Satan trying to put condemnation on you to cause you to run away from the Father. Because condemnation will and judgment will cause you to run away from God, to fear Him and stay away from His presence instead of running to Him. The Spirit of God convicts us. It corrects us, absolutely. But condemnation, that is guilt and shame, that's a tool of the enemy, not a tool of God. God doesn't need to shame us. God draws us with His presence, with His love, to draw closer to Him, not to run away from Him. So in every test is an opportunity to trust Him more, for along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. God's plan is whatever trial or test you find yourself in, you are an overcomer. It's not for failure. It is for you to see that God is with you, God is greater, and you're going to come out on the other side. You're coming out of this place. Whatever place that you're in, whatever hardship, whatever difficulty, whatever trial of life, no matter how great it looks like, if you keep looking to God, God has the solution. God has the way out. He has the solution. God has the resources and God is the source of everything that we have need of. But we have to have that confidence in Him and trust in Him to know, for one, God is on our side. God is faithful. He's just. He's pure, righteous, holy. There's nothing in Him that is evil. Nothing in God that is against us. God is, if God loved us enough to send His only begotten Son to pay for our sins once and for all, to give us the rite of passage to become sons and daughters of the Most High God, to live in the kingdom of heaven forever, if God loved us that much, The Bible says that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If God chose us in that fashion to give the best that He had, then there's nothing about Him that is for our destruction. He loves and sent His Son so that all, it's God's desire that all would be saved. But we know that's not going to happen because there's too many people that just completely reject Him and will refuse to submit and come under His authority. So we know that every man is not going to be saved, but God has provided for every person to be saved. He's made provision for every person in the world to be in the kingdom of heaven. He didn't create hell for man. He created hell for Satan and the fallen angels. It was never intended for man to be in hell. Now let's go to James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, let's look at verse 2. And this is, James is talking about the testing of your faith. Now, we jumped ahead of this last time and we looked at, started, I believe, in verse 12. But James chapter 1, verse 2, my fellow believers, and I'm reading this in the Passion again. I'm going to change that so that in the King James it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or when troubles of any kind come, the New Living Translation says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Or the New Living says, for when you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. The New Living says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So when your faith is being tested, let it be tested. Because when it is tested and developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing. Why? Because you will have a confidence in God when you have went through a testing. How do you feel? How did you feel in, if you could go back to school, if you ever made a good, if some of us didn't always make good grades on tests, but when you made an A on a test, wow, boy, you just like, whoo, that is, yes, I did it. So you had a confidence. You had this completion that, man, I studied hard, I did this, I knew what was on the test, and you probably, when you made that A, it probably wasn't a surprise to you. You might have thought maybe a high B, but usually when you make an A or an A+, it's not a surprise because you're like, you know what, when I was writing out the answers, I knew what the answers were. I knew what I needed to write, I knew what it was, I knew this, and I knew I was going to get an A. So when your faith is being tested and you come out of that, you come out with, yes, come on, devil, whatever you've got, God is greater, God is bigger, God is stronger and more powerful, and in and through me, He lives on the inside of me. So whatever you've got, I'm able to withstand because it has been proven, it's been tested, and it's been tried. And so when we stand on God's Word, whatever we're going through, whatever trial or test that we're facing, we are not facing it alone. You know, some people like to say, you know, the world is a test and God has given you, it's an open book test. He's given us the Bible, the Word of God. You can find what you're looking for and what you need by seeking God's face, listening to Him, looking for Him, and finding the answers in the Word that He has put together. Yes, men wrote this down, but they were inspired by the living God to write these things that we needed to hear in this time. And everything that we have need of can be found in God's Word. God's big enough. If He's big enough to create the whole world, He's big enough to make sure that what we need is in this book. You can debate about how, oh, well, everything's not there. It's not listed. You know, we don't know who wrote it, and we don't know all these, you know, who somebody could have manipulated. You don't think God is able to protect His Word, to protect and to this book is more than enough than what we need? Sure, everything is not written in there. Even John said that if all of the things that had been written down that Christ had done, there probably wouldn't be enough books in the whole world to contain it. So everything is not here, but what we need is here. And not only that, He's given us the living Word, the Spirit of the living God to live on the inside of us. That's the time where you can say, amen. listen to this last verse. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if you lack wisdom, you can probably say, oh, that's me. I'm lacking some wisdom here. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. You say, what does that even mean, abradeth not? Let me read it to you in the New Living. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. God will never rebuke you for asking of him for wisdom. God will never rebuke you for asking for his help, for asking for advice, for asking for counsel, coming to God and asking of him. God desires for us to seek his face, and he desires that connection, that relationship, even if it means you come to him with your problems. You know, people will say, oh, I don't want to bother God with this. I don't want to bother God because he's got the whole world to take. Listen, God's big enough to take care of the whole world and to take care of our little problems too. God loves to help us and take care of us. It's just like our children. You know, we've talked about this many times before. When our children come to us as a father, we want to be a blessing to our children. We want our children. Listen, you'd be upset if your child went to a stranger and with a need that they had. If their shoes were ripped open and they needed new shoes and they went next door and asked your neighbor, my shoes are tore up. I really need a new pair of shoes. You'd be upset. Why didn't you come to me? Why did you bother them with that? That's not their responsibility. I'm your parent. I'm the one that takes care of you. You come to me if you have a problem or you need something. God is greater than we are, and he does not want us to run to somebody else because we think that he's too busy or it's too insignificant. God wants us to come to him and ask of him. Why? He loves to show himself strong. He loves to show that he is taking care of you and that he is your answer and that he is your source. God desires that relationship. God desires for you to need him, for you to desire of him, for you to come to him and ask of him, and for every little thing, no matter how big or small, God desires and has made provision for you to be able to come to him without fear, without rejection, but you come to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. You're coming to him with a pure heart because you're asking of him, and you're coming to him not in your own strength, but you're coming to him in what Christ has done for us. And you're doing it through that precious name, the name that is above every name, the precious name of Jesus. Now, I hope this encouraged you today. I hope that this gave you some strength, gave you a little bit of insight, and I pray that you will look into God's Word and not just take this, but you will go and read it and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, bring your understanding up, and say, God, show me things even show me even more than you've shown Brian. I hope you do. God shows you. Then you can write us and tell us, hey, God showed me this. God showed me this. This is awesome. All of these things are done for the purpose of us to grow and to learn, become stronger, and to be more and more like him. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I believe that the words that were spoken here, God's word that you've read, and if you've read it along with me, or if you go back and read it, that this word will strengthen you and give you ammunition, tools for you to fight in these times that we're in. Trust in God. Believe in him. God is for you, not against you. Run to him, not away from him. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that we have the promise of your word, that whatever we face, whatever test or trial that comes up in our life, that you have made a way of escape for every temptation. when Satan comes to us and tries to tempt us, or even our own desires, when our own desires deceive us and try to lure us away, that God, you have made a way for us to overcome any temptation. Even if it's our own lust or our own desire, you've made a way. If we're willing, you've made a way for us to overcome that. And all we have to do is we have to turn to you. We have to look to you and submit ourselves to you. Lord, your word says to submit ourselves to you, resist the devil, and he doesn't have a choice but to flee. He doesn't have a choice. When we submit to you and humble ourselves before you, we resist him. He is not stronger than we are. God, you have given us the power to overcome in every situation. Lord, we thank you for bringing more revelation and insight into this subject, giving us the tools and the equipment, the understanding, Lord, that we are able to overcome in every situation, no matter what we face, in the name that is above every name and the precious word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.